The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
For the weekend, we will be in Athens tomorrow. And speaking of Athens, our next guest spent a little time there as an All-American and as the best defensive cornerback in college football 20-some-odd years ago. He was also a 12-time Pro Bowler in the NFL and recently was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. The great Champ Bailey joining us. Champ, it's good to see you again. It's been a while, and I really appreciate you making time. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm great. Good talking to you, Paul.
Thank you. I saw you right before you were going into the hall, and that had to be an amazing experience.
It really was. You know, I'm still on cloud nine. You know, it was a great experience. And, you know, on top of that, you know, as we probably going to prelude to, my dogs are winning, you know, so we kind of built that winning tradition again. So it's a really good time now to be a sports fan and to be a former dog and a former Bronco.
You know, I want to go back to the late 90s because, I mean, not only were you, a standalone corner, but you did so many things. You were great on special teams, and you also, played a number of snaps offensively as a receiver. How did you and you never dropped anything quite like you just dropped your phone there.
All good.
How did you manage all that when you were at UGA?
Well, honestly, I just love to play. And quite frankly, it was something I was used to in high school. I mean, I went to a small high school, so I did everything. I mean, I never left the field. I never knew what that felt like to play one specific position and excel at it. So when I got to college, Coach Donnan, he promised that he'd give me a shot to play multiple positions, and, you know, he didn't let me down.
And speaking of Coach Donnan, we will see him tomorrow in Athens as well. It's absurd to ask you about the offensive side of the ball, considering you are regarded as literally one of the greatest cornerbacks in NFL history. But did you ever have an inkling to play a little bit more on the offensive side as you got to the NFL?
Well, I did, and I was fortunate enough to play a few plays on offense. I have a few catches on my books, a rushing touchdown. So I was a little productive. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play for some coaches and that they gave me a shot. They believed in my ability. And, you know, they always told me if you lose one step at corner, there's no way that you're going to play offense. So I just made sure I took care of both.
Well, you did quite well. So let me get to the obvious thing on everyone's mind right now, and they are the dogs. And I know how proud you are and every former player. So give me especially from a defensive standpoint, your assessment of what we are watching every week from this team?
Well, I was able to see it up close and personal in Charlotte, first game of the year. You know, impressive win. I see them flying around making plays. I think the thing that, you know, sticks out to me now is there's so many of them. There's so many elite players. And that's what really, you know, kind of comes to my attention is I can't just point to one guy and say he's making us different. There's no Roquan Smith, so to speak. There's a few of them. You know, there's just it's kind of baffling to really sit back, okay, how do you assemble this kind of talent and be able to please everybody? It looks like all the guys love playing together. Winning definitely helps that. But, I mean, you can tell they prepare. They go hard in practice. These guys are fighting for positions. I mean, so it shows up on Sundays or Saturdays, I should say.
It's about to show up for many of these guys on Sundays, as you said.
Right.
Some have said that, you know, the offenses have not been great, that they've seen Clemson was limited. Certainly Arkansas was fairly one-dimensional. But it's hard to – when you look at the stats, I mean, we're now midway through the season – it's hard to really pay much attention to that because, I mean, nobody is getting anything on them.
Yeah, nobody is. I mean, I think, to be honest, I think Kentucky will be our first big test. You know, they're coming in 6-0. I mean, it's rare that you see undefeated teams like this at an elite level at this time of the season. I mean, usually somebody's sitting on one loss. So, you know, it's funny to see how we've been able to be consistently good every week and dominate every week. So it is hard to get a measuring stick on how good they are. I mean, I just think you just let the wins speak for themselves and, you know, just look back on a great year. I know they don't get caught up in the moment, and I'm not trying to either. It's just let's just deal with this process, take care of it week after week, and see where we stand at the end.
Champ, when it comes to Georgia, and you played there, and you're a fan, and you're close to the program, you know where I'm going here. It's easy for others. We had an Alabama fan not long ago call in and talk about the inability to get over the hump. We all know it's been 40 years since a championship. If Coach called you in here to talk to the team, I doubt that would be your number one topic, but how does this team finally end all that and win a title?
Well, not worry about the noise is one step, but don't worry about what we're talking about, right? Just focus on the job. I mean, that's the only way you win games. You put the time in. But I tell you what, one thing I'm glad about is Jimbo Fisher beat Nick Saban. So if we ever get to that game, we don't have to worry about the disciple, you know, beating the teacher. And, you know, so we don't. There's nothing to worry. No pressure on Kirby there. So we took that pressure off. Yeah, there's this 40-year, you know, long, you know, streak of not winning the championship hanging over us. But I don't think these guys care. It doesn't seem like they do. They seem like a week-to-week team, and that's exactly what we need to have in order to win the big one.
And I'm curious what you think because, listen, you had an amazing career. We know that. But it is a little bit different. I mean, it wasn't you. I mean, we're not talking to somebody that played in the 60s, 70s, or 80s. You played a lot more recently. What do you make out of what is happening right now with their ability to make their own money and whether or not that, certainly not at Georgia, but some people think it could be affecting other locker rooms?
Well, of course it's going to affect some. I mean, you look at the brands that these colleges have built. I mean, it's no doubt that certain brands are going to stick out no matter what. But now you're talking about the different alumni and businesses associated with these big brands. Now you're talking about, you know, a bigger chance to make more money. And guys are going to take that into consideration. I know it's going to affect other locker rooms. I mean, but we got to be honest here. These guys are playing an expensive game that's generating a lot of revenue. They should take part somehow. I mean, the NCAA doesn't have to worry about footing the bill, but at the same time, things may come to that. I think that's what we're kind of getting to. This is sort of a breather, so to speak. Yeah, guys can make money, but it'll never be fair. It'll never be equal. There's no democracy behind that. So, you know, some things need to be worked out, and we'll get there.
If you go back to your time as a dog, what do you think it would have been like to have some of the? I mean, you would have cashed in pretty well.
Yeah, Paul. You know, I think about that all the time. You know, it's something that we laugh and joke about. But you know, in all seriousness, yeah, there was a lot of opportunity. It's not like we didn't see it. It's just we couldn't do anything about it. You know, we saw the impact of that G. And we understood, you know, the influence we had in our communities. So, of course, people would want to do business with us, but we couldn't take advantage of it. So just in hindsight, it was probably a good thing it didn't happen. But at the same time, you know, it would have been a great opportunity for us to get started, you know, and get prepared for the league.
Finally, I want to talk. Georgia has always been successful, but it seems today that Kirby Smart has figured something out that very few other programs have been able to capitalize on. And I know you're close to the program, but from a close range and from a distance of a few years since you played, what do you think it is that he is doing that is attracting so many elite athletes to Athens?
Well, understanding, that I don't see the day-to-day. I don't know what he does every day and what he really focuses on. But what stands out to me is he goes after elite talent, right? I don't know what he's saying to these kids or what he's doing that resonates with them, but Athens is a college town. It's a fun place. You've got a good history. So it's not a hard sell. It's now, what are you going to do when you get there? Do you have a chance to win championships? And I think that's what he's been able to convince them of. Now, he's had some good, learning lessons along the way, being here the first 5 years and losing some big games. But he also had a lot of preparation before that, being under Nick Saban and learning how to build a winning tradition. So the guy's just a good learner. When I played with him, he was the smartest guy on the field all the time. He still seems that way. And, only time will tell. And I think at a certain point, all this stuff will start coming together. These great players, his mindset, it'll start throwing out some championships here soon.
When you go back to that period, and certainly quite a few coaches, Muschamp was right before him, and then he was there. I know you don't think about it because you're thinking at the time to have a great career, and you know you're probably going to be a high pick, which you were in the NFL. But did you see a coach, a future coach in Kirby Smart? He came from a coaching family, of course.
I guess at that time you don't think about it, but yes, in hindsight, I mean, he had all the tails, he was a good football player. I mean, he would be honest with himself and say, I probably won't make it in the league. But, at the same time, this guy's football is just in his blood. So being a coach, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I mean, it's in his blood. I mean, I don't doubt that. Along the way, he saw himself being a head coach somewhere. I mean, whether he saw himself at Georgia or not, I know I saw that a few years before he got the job. Like, I started lobbying for him. So, I mean, I'm not surprised at his progression and where he is now in his career.
Finally, and I know there are a lot of easy and difficult answers, but when you're number one and Georgia has not been in the spot since long before you started playing, what would your advice be to these players? Because this is going to be a very difficult run. Every week they are now the hunted, and, they've got Kentucky this week. 2 weeks from now we're in Jacksonville, probably Alabama in December in Atlanta. You mentioned the noise. Is that the key to block all that out?
No doubt. No doubt. Just block out the noise. I mean, they have so many different media channels that have grabbed their attention, and so many things that can distract you from what really wins games. And it's not people patting you on the back. It's that daily grind. Those 6 days a week when you're not playing, you got to be focused on the job at hand. And it seemed their results every week show that they're doing that now. It's just now that you're sitting at the top spot, there's a bullseye on your chest. Now it's time to really dial in and just make a run here towards the end. I mean, it's a week-to-week season. I mean, this thing is getting more and more like the NFL. You have to take care of what's in front of you, and don't worry about things you can't control.
Champ, what a pleasure to see you. You look like you're about to suit up on Sunday again. It's great to – and
watch out, Paul. I might. Watch out. I might.
I don't blame you if you do. Hey, thank you for coming on. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, too. Anytime.
You bet. Champ Bailey, it says it all. One of the all-timers. And that is no hyperbole there. We will take a break. More to come. Final hour continues.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back. Rich is up next. Rick is up next in Southern California. Hello, Rick.
Paul, how you doing? Thanks for my call. It's been a long, long time, man. But
great to hear
in the
you.
Industry I'm in. Yeah, this industry I'm in, COVID has wreaked havoc on my schedule. So I do apologize, but I have been listening and love the calls, love the show. And
thank you.
As you know, I'm a 60-year Alabama fan. But I want to start off by saying, if you just give me a minute, that Georgia is the best team I've seen this year. I have no doubt about that. I've picked them to win the national title. But let me say this. The caller a few minutes ago who made the call saying that the Red Sox have caught the Yankees. Well, the first thing that the Red Sox had to do in order to catch the Yankees was actually beat the Yankees, okay? He's making the comment that, make no mistake, Georgia has caught Alabama. You got to beat them first, right? I mean, that's first things first. And what a lot of people don't understand is Alabama won 100 straight games over unranked teams. That's more than the number 2, 3, and 4 teams behind them combined, okay? That's decade worth of winning. They haven't lost to an Eastern Division team in, what, 10, 11 years?
Right.
I mean, that's insane-type numbers, okay? And that's with a target on your back. Every game, you are everybody's national title game. And nobody's handled that better than Alabama and Nick Saban. Now let's see what Georgia does with it. Me, I think they're going to run the table. I think they win the national title. But until you do that, you've caught nobody, okay? So first of all, that's just – it's just crazy to come on here and just celebrate the greatest team in the history of college football winning – losing by a field goal – on the last second of the game. I mean, that's ridiculous. I realize it was to an unranked team. But what's an A&M ranked 4th or 5th in the nation to start the season?
Yes.
That's a pretty good football team. So there's no excuses for me. Alabama was outplayed, outcoached, and lost that game, and there's no excuse for it. But the fact of the matter is, until Pete Golding has left Alabama, we're going to see more of these defensive issues. I mean, they have not been ranked in the top 10 in any defensive category since Pruitt left. And for me, I don't know how Nick Saban doesn't make that call. I mean, it's time to move on with this. I mean, good Lord, they've got 5-star guys all over the defensive side of the football that can't tackle, can't cover. They've had more penalties, more pass interference calls than they've ever had. I mean, it's time to make that change. So, but I wanted to remind that Georgia caller, and again, I think Georgia's the best team I've seen this year, but until you've beaten the man, you ain't the man. Thanks for taking the call, Paul.
Thank you very much. Jason in Louisiana, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you, Jason.
Well, I'm down here in Shreveport. I'm about a lone wolf, Paul. I went to work Monday, and everybody was laughing. I'm an Alabama fan. And all these Tiger fans, man, they gave me heck. I work in the school system. I'm a football coach, too, down here at the local school.
Oh, wow.
And I tell you what, and they act like they won the national championship just because we lost, Paul.
That's the way it always is.
Yeah, but I was going to ask you, Champ Bailey, help me remember. Didn't he play some offense also while he was at
Georgia?
He
played wide receiver. Not a lot, but he played limited situations, and he was also on special teams.
Awesome play. I grew up a Washington fan, been a Washington fan for 30 years, and I watched him play.
Oh, yeah,
he was there. Great man, great player, and I love your show, Paul.
Thank you. You be well, Coach. Hope you have a great season. Joe is up next in Red Bay, Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I'm over my mourning. You know, you celebrate a win 24 hours, you mourn for, you know, 3 or 4 days. So I made my pick wrong against A&M. You know, I said they'd be the weakest team we've played all year. And it don't mean they're not. It just means we, you know, you can't drop 8 passes and, you know, it's uncharacteristic, you know, how it was. But I promise you, if we play Georgia, we're not going to be dropping passes. And if you think Bama's out of the playoffs, I mean, it's just, hey, I want to be 5. I want people to say, hey, Penn State's in front of you. Oklahoma that barely wins a game, they barely win their games, barely, is in front of us. I mean, that gives us, you know, a chip on our shoulder. And you know, Paul, it's better to lose
early than do you believe any of this stuff that you're saying, or are you just saying it?
It's fact. It's proven fact.
What is fact?
That Alabama's going to win the national title this year.
That's a fact?
it's proven fact. I mean, it's...
Okay.
I mean, where is it not a fact, Paul? I mean, where is it not? I mean, we lose one game, and it ain't the apocalypse happened. We just didn't play good that game. And I tell you what, we need to get rid of Pete Golden. And I said before the year even started, he won't be back in Tuscaloosa next year. He won't.
Here, Joe. If you're going to win the national championship, how are you going to? Why do you want to get rid of your defensive coordinator?
Well, he's done decent, but this past week, I mean, he set the defense up for pass, and all A&M was doing, they wouldn't, you know, checking off. They dropped back 2 steps and hit the first guy they had planned on hitting. Okay. I mean, so we didn't have a chance to sack. I mean, you know how bad I wanted us to sack him.
So, Joe, Joe, before you go, you really think Alabama is going to beat Georgia?
Well, sure. Georgia ain't played offense like Alabama. I mean, Alabama can cha-ching 40 points every game.
Okay. Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. I do believe legend moved to the top of the list. The Golden Calf Award, and I'm just content to wait and play the game and see what happens in the meantime. If you will permit me to plagiarize Rod Serling.
Please.
Let is on a journey. His final destination, the Twilight Zone.
That was a great show. I used to love that lead-in. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. It is certainly chaos tonight. Let's talk to Travis in Texas. Hey, Travis.
Hey, Paul. My dad started taking me to A&M games at Kyle Field in 1956 when Bear Bryant was our head coach, and I've been going out there for 65 years and seeing most of the games. I also played the game in high school and college, so I know a little bit about football. And I want to make this next statement with great emphasis. And your caller before the last caller should listen, as well as legend. Bama did not lose that football game to Texas A&M. Texas A&M beat Alabama. And Alabama has got some problems on defense, and that problem is not going away. It was very evident in that football game, Paul, and I have attended the last 2 games at Kyle Field. the one before Bama was Mississippi State, and they beat us. And I watched Bama lose to us. And I'll tell you, looking at those two teams, if they both play as well as they did the day they played us, Bama will lose to Mississippi State. I'm going to make that prediction right now. Bama is going to lose to Mississippi State Saturday. So that's my prediction, Paul.
Well, thank you. If that happens, I don't know if we'll have enough time Monday to let Legend call in. We'll take a break. We still have 30 minutes remaining. We appreciate you being here. It's been a fun show. And we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tweet from Bob saying, Feinbaum after an Alabama loss is a national treasure. Like recordings should be kept in the Library of Congress. I could second that motion. Let's get back to the calls. And Nick is in Macon, Georgia. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man? This is Nick down here in old Macon, Georgia, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you very much.
And I just got to say one thing first. I got a newborn. She just turned 2 months old. My wife hates it when she comes home and we're in here watching the Paul Feinbaum show. But you just had a caller call back a minute ago and said something about Alabama hasn't or they haven't played or Georgia hasn't played an offense like Alabama. Well, what I want to say to that is, has Alabama played a defense like Georgia?
No.
Exactly. I just, you know, hope they realize that. And, you know, of course, as any dog fan, we're never going to feel complete unless we beat Alabama. However, I don't see us playing them this year. I just don't think they're going to make it all the way.
Well, Nick, thank you very much. You may be right about that. Let's check in with Corky in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
Hey, Paul. Got a question for you, bro. So Alabama's ranked number 5, right?
Correct.
Okay, we have Penn State who lost to Iowa, who's ranked number 2. We have Ohio State, who lost to Oregon, that was ranked higher. And we have Notre Dame, who's ranked, that lost to Cincinnati. How is Alabama ranked in front of them? And all those teams they lost to was ranked teams.
It's a good question.
I'm not saying anyone can beat Alabama, but how is that way?
Well, I think what some people are doing, they're saying, could Alabama beat this team? That's not. I do this every Sunday, and I will tell you, one of the hardest things every week is trying to figure out who to put in the top 4, because it's very difficult right now. You know, let's say Cincinnati is number 3. Do you think Cincinnati is better than Alabama?
I'm gonna be honest with you. No, I don't. But
I don't,
you lost. Move on. I think Alabama could beat anybody if they play them again. But they got to realize they lost. Move them on. Yeah, they could beat anybody if you put them back up there. But that's not fair, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's very convoluted right now because, you know, we have a better sample than we did, but you know, Cincinnati won at Notre Dame. Alabama won at Florida. So, I mean, do I think Cincinnati could have gotten out of College Station the other night? No, I don't think so.
No, I don't either. You're right.
Here's the good news. The rankings are just for fun. This convoluted committee will start sitting down here in a few weeks, and we'll let them figure it out. Larry is up next. I'm sure Larry is in a good mood today in Alabama. How are you, Larry?
All right, man. Well, I've just had to change a trailer tire, man, blew out on me.
You had to change a tire on your trailer?
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, I didn't know if that big lighter was going to go off again or not, man. I got so tired. I swear. Man, it was bad luck day. I hope Saturday's better than today.
I'm sorry to hear that, Larry. I know it's been a challenging week.
Hey, you know what? I like what you said the other day, man, when you said Alabama just needs to finish. You know, that sounds like what Nick Saban would say. That's what we didn't do. We didn't finish. And the reason we're number five is because we were number one. I mean, it takes purity. I know why we lost. I'm a part coach myself. It's because they scored more damn points than we did. That's why we lost.
That is, by the way, that is very accurate what you said there.
Yeah. I read your Facebook comment, Alabama's judged by perfection. And something, what was the other part? Other teams are judged by Alabama?
Yeah, that's I think I said Alabama is judged by perfection, and everyone else is judged by Alabama.
Yeah, they put that on Facebook, man. Had a picture of you sitting there looking good, man.
You never know what you're going to see on Facebook these days and whether it's true or not.
Yeah, man. He's looking good, boy.
Hey, Larry, Larry, do me a favor, okay? Take it easy. I mean, we don't need you to be sick.
I was scared to death.
Now, Larry,
my heart rate.
How did you? I mean, was the game? I mean, I forgot to ask you this the other day, but when the game got tight, were you okay with that? I mean, I know you're with this heart situation.
You talking about Jimbo Fisher, you Texas A&M?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got, I was worried. I tried to tell myself, calm down now, calm down. It's going to be all right. And to get my heart rate down, I had to go out on the porch and drink a beer and come back and, you know, take deep breaths and hyperventilating almost, you know.
What was the hardest part of the game?
When they kicked that field goal,
yeah.
I think.
Right after the pass interference?
Yeah, that was the bummer.
I would not have wanted to be with you when that flag came flying.
Woo, son. Hey, look, my dog's running here. Hey, man, I'm so PO'd, man. I was mad. Of course, we wasn't guilty. You know me.
No, of course. Other than the fact that the Alabama defender, he did everything but lay the guy out. Hey, thanks for the call. CJ is in Virginia. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was enjoying the show. I wasn't planning on calling, but the legend call again. I agree with Jim. You know, we were just having religious education with the children Wednesday night. We were just studying this very thing with the Ten Commandments, and I'm giving Legend the benefit of the doubt. I hope he was just joking, but I think he's definitely in violation of the first commandment, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. you know, and if the cutout of Saban starts talking to Legend, I think he really needs to get professional help and maybe an exorcism in there. I don't know.
Well, it seems like, I'm I don't just know, saying. But, I thought I saw at the end of the game as Saban was walking off the field, there was a burning bush right by him. Well, let me say this. The idea of idolatry in Alabama football, that's not a new subject. We don't need any religious scholars to come in on that one. It's been looked at before.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, I've heard a couple of callers talk about Georgia's going to choke. My experience has been world-class defenses that are coached very well don't choke. I'm not saying they're going to – I think they'll win the national championship. I mean, they could get beat, but teams like that just don't choke. That's the great thing about having a great defense. And, again, you know, I think Bama needs to be careful with Mississippi State. They've had 2 weeks to prepare now. And, I mean, A&M, I know they were ranked high, but basically, you know, they're one field goal away from being 0-3 in conference and number 6 in the SEC West. I mean, right now they're number 5 in the SEC West. So this idea that, again, you know, I'm an LSU fan, but I'm also an SEC fan. And I think there's a lot. It's going to be interesting. coming up here, you know?
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. We still have a few minutes remaining. Don't forget, tomorrow live.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching The Paul Feinbaum Show, presented by Beef. It's What's for Dinner. And we welcome all of you back. Final few minutes of the program. It has been a busy day here, and we will continue taking your phone calls the rest of the way. And Dog of War is up next. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Man, we have got a serious drug problem in the state of Alabama, because those drug dealers down there are cooking a form of meth that is messing with these Alabama people's minds after one loss. Now, my mama told me never to pick on the elderly or the simpletons. So Joe of Red Bay, Larry, Jerome, all I can say is bless your heart. Let me zero in on public enemy number one, and that is the legend. I'm telling you, if I was an Auburn fan over in Alabama, I would certainly call up the parole board and have Legend's parole officer go out there tonight and have him test, do a drug test, because I promise you, he would be off the chart smoking crack with that call he had in there today. You know, for Legend, he reminds me of when I was a kid, I saw two old roosters in the barnyard. One was this old cock who was injured, flapping around, yapping, yelling at top of his lungs. And then the cock of the wall, the young rooster, just jumped off the fence and put him out of his misery in 2 seconds. And Legend, that's you, my friend. You got to lay off that pipe, man. It's bad stuff. Paul, I'm out.
Thank you very much. Kathy is in Georgia. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I wanted to call again and tell you that I hope y'all have a safe trip here to Athens tomorrow and for Friday, Saturday. Also, I want to say that Legend, it broke my heart to hear him say that. I don't know if he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior or not, but I do have the plan of salvation, and I do appreciate what you told him, because it's true. But there's a part in the Bible where the ass talk, and I believe Legend was the ass today. And also, I want to say that he don't need that Pepto-Bismol I talked about earlier. He needs Jesus. And y'all have a safe trip to Athens.
Kathy, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you very, very much. Bye-bye. I do appreciate that a lot. Rebecca is up next. Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
I'm good. I want to tell you, I had the pleasure of getting a picture with you with my sister in Jacksonville at the Georgia Florida game a couple years ago.
Wow. Thanks.
Yeah, there was a white bulldog with us, too.
Oh, I do remember that dog.
The Florida game. Also, good to see Champ Bailey. He's one of my faves. I actually saw him there, too, pull up in the truck. But I had a thought on Alabama. Now, I'm one of those that watches the press conferences pre and post and all that stuff with Kirby or anybody we play. And anytime they want to pop a Saban clip in there, of course I watch that. And it's kind of weird. This is the first time I've heard Saban make a comment in a conference. It sounded like he was being questioned about why he wasn't playing a particular player, and all that. If you don't do your job, if you don't earn the right to play, you don't play. And so maybe that to me was very telling. I've never heard him say that about any of his players.
I agree. Rebecca, thank you very much. I think your phone was shorting out a little bit, but it's a really interesting point. Let's check in with Jay, who is up next. Hey, Jay, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, hey, I'm one of the old-time listeners. I've listened to you for a long time, since the Birmingham days, and I tell you what, never a dull moment listening to the Paul Feinbaum show after an Alabama loss. If it's not Auburn or if it's another team, the week after, I'm telling you, it's very entertaining, and I wanted to let you know I really have enjoyed your show today and the last couple of days. I'm an Auburn grad, and, yeah, we lost, but I'm telling you, this show has been a source of great entertainment all week.
Jay, thank you for saying that. We are unfortunately out of time. Tomorrow we begin on the campus of the University of Georgia. We will see you then. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.